and welcome to the Korean Beauty Show podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lee, K-beauty expert, founder of Style Story, where you can shop, learn, and explore the world of Korean skincare, and of course, your go-to for what is going on in the world of K-beauty. So let us jump straight into the news headlines for this week, because there is a lot going on. Now, one thing I did want to mention is that I have seen popping up in a couple of different places, some billboards around Seoul, that there are a few new snail launches. And what I mean by that is products, beauty products featuring snail mucin as an ingredient. If you are tuning in from overseas, like a lot of our listeners are, you might be thinking, why is this is not really new, right? But the thing is, snail has not been trending in Korea for many, many years. It is definitely one of those trends that took off way more overseas outside Korea and has certainly lasted a lot longer than any trends really do last in Korea itself. So seeing it back on billboards, back in products, I've seen certain products featuring black snail, another one that they're calling blue snail. That really did catch me by surprise, just because snail, that trend, it rose and it kind of died away and hasn't really been that big. And a lot of people that come to Korea looking for their favorite snail beauty products actually have trouble finding them in the offline stores a lot of the time because they're just not sold offline. They're a lot more niche. So that one, I thought a few people might be interested to hear that maybe snail might be making a comeback here in Korea itself. So I'll keep my eyes peeled for more news on more snail launches, but there you go. That one did shock me a little bit. Now, the other thing was I recently did an interview with Marie Claire magazine, and we were just having a chat through some of the staples of K-beauty. They were just wanting to know, you know, what are the main approaches or the main ethos and some of the key ingredients. And I was basically just running them through the fact that really K-beauty is a lot more to do with skin first and makeup second, rather than, you know, a set of steps that needs to be followed. And I know we've talked about this heaps on the podcast. I'm pretty sure my very first episode all the way back in May 2020 was all about sort of debunking some of the really common myths about, you know, the 10-step routine and all of that sort of thing. But it really is more of a focus on your skincare, so doing things to correct any issues with the skin rather than needing a whole lot of products to contour, cover up, or layer on to sort of hide what's underneath. And then the other big thing, and we talk about this a lot on the show, is the emphasis on hydration over exfoliation. So it's not to say that we don't have exfoliating products in K-beauty, clearly we do, but Western beauty particularly is a lot more focused on this concept of stripping back the skin, you know, the old skin, getting rid of dead skin cells to reveal the new stuff below, whereas K-beauty is much more about customizing an approach to care for your skin at, you know, different stages of life, different times of the year, and, you know, the idea that you'll probably mix it up a little bit throughout the different seasons or whatnot. So they were all the kind of things that we were talking about. I did mention that some of the star or the popular ingredients at the moment are things like probiotics, centella, which has been trending for years, heart leaf, mugwort, and ginseng. So they're all still very, very common, particularly in a lot of the calming products that have been trending basically since the pandemic broke out, just because of all the skin issues that people are having. Bakuchiol and retinol, obviously trending this year, but in much smaller doses. And there's a lot of focus, even in the marketing that the companies are using around, you know, the doses that won't irritate the skin. So that was an interview that I did. It was actually published in their magazine. So that was, I guess you could say, in the news as well. We ran through a whole bunch of other things. So I'm just going to do a series of videos. You can go and check them out on my Instagram at lauren.kbeauty or on TikTok over at TikTok and just sort of run through that in a little bit more detail if you are interested. That's more sort of like a helicopter view, K-Beauty 101. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you might be like, meh, no, this is new information. But if you have just recently tuned in, you might be interested in some of those more fundamental and basic differences between Korean skincare and Western skincare and how it's different. So the other big thing that has been dominating the news headlines over here is, of course, the fact that we have finally had the mandate release that we can do away with our masks indoors. Now, why this is such a big deal is because we have literally been in masks indoors since the pandemic broke out. Basically, from early 2020, we have been required to wear masks. We did away with the outdoor mask requirement around summer last year, and it's still been required in indoor spaces, workplaces, cafes, hairdressing salons, anything like that. Basically, anytime you're not eating or drinking, we were required to be wearing our masks inside. That is now gone. And that has spurred a whole lot of articles, content, just general chatter, I guess, around how that's going to impact everything, life in Korea, clearly, but also the sales of things like cosmetics. And so there was actually Olive Young released their 2022 settlement keyword, basically looking at what is trending. So sales of color cosmetics increased 50% last year from January to November. Base makeup products, so your cushions and foundations and whatnot, rose 70%. Lip products rose 65%. So color cosmetics, people are, you know, I guess talking, thinking about, maybe trying out some makeup. One of the things I've been really interested to sort of just take a look at, first off, was how many people would actually take their masks off. We still have to wear them in indoors when we're taking public transport and things like that. So obviously, if you're riding the subway, everyone will still be wearing it, or a bus or something like that. But I was kind of surprised. So the very first day, I noticed most people did seem to be in their masks. When people are working out, they seem to be taking them off. I was at the hairdresser yesterday, and pretty much everyone had their mask off, which kind of surprised me. Obviously, the clientele and the hairdressers themselves, the area where I get my hair done is a little bit of a younger area. So there were younger people, which might have had something to do with it. But I was really shocked how many people had them off. And the other thing I was shocked was how many people, particularly girls, had their masks off and weren't wearing makeup. I was one of them. And I just think it's obviously a very awkward feeling to be out and about in public without your mask on for the first time in so many years. Everyone was definitely feeling that. You could tell that people were a little bit sort of self-conscious, but clearly a lot of people have just ditched makeup altogether throughout the pandemic. And, you know, I guess it's maybe going to take a little bit of time for people to start getting back into it, start, doing their face again. I'm definitely fall into that category. I used to always do my makeup because I really enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. And it just was so annoying to do your makeup and then get into work or wherever, take the mask off, and then it's all smudged and doesn't look good anyway. So I just gave up like partway through. I was just like, it's not worth it. I'm just going to not bother. And I think so many other people, whether it was because they just couldn't be bothered or because they were experiencing so many issues with their skin because of the mask, they just thought makeup is one extra burden on the skin maybe that I just don't need. So I think it will be really, really interesting to see how that sort of plays out. I know that men's cosmetics in particular at the moment is definitely on the rise. Euromonitor, which is one of these global market research firms, they actually did a little bit of a look into this, and they saw that the men's cosmetic market market had grown from 700 billion won in 2010 to 1.4 trillion in 2020. So about 10% growth a year. So I just think that there are a lot more people potentially that could get into makeup if it is back on the rise. I think we will definitely see sales increase. Even from last year, brands were like planning more releases of their color cosmetics, their makeup products. So I think this is definitely going to be something that we will see more of in 2023. I just think it will, you know, in terms of how the cosmetics market in general in the country, this is my sort of prediction for 2023. I think until travel is back and people are traveling in the same numbers as they did pre-pandemic, particularly to Korea, I think the market will not be as strong as it was pre-pandemic. And that's just because of the sheer amount of tourists that used to come to the country, not only for K-beauty, obviously for, you know, K-pop and things like that, but those numbers still have not returned. Chinese tourists in particular, the numbers are still way, way down. There's a lot of, you know, political reasons and whatnot for that behind that. But even I was talking to my hairdresser yesterday, and she was just saying, you know, you don't see anywhere near the numbers of Japanese tourists in Korea that once upon a time we used to see. And that's true. You know, she was like, it's actually hard to hear Japanese on the street, like if you're keeping a listen out for it. And I've definitely noticed that as well. You know, it used to be that you would hear it here and again on the streets as you were walking around. But I just think tourism is not back to the numbers that it previously was. Obviously, flights in a lot of places are still more expensive. So in general, I think the market is still in a little bit of a state of flux. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of things that have curbed people's spending. Now we are moving into a recession in parts of the world. But I think this year will be a little bit of a year of change, just as, you know, people continue moving out of all of the restrictions and things like that. So a lot of chat, obviously, as you would expect, in the news headlines for the last couple of weeks about all of those things. So I will pop on to the question of the week. So we had a question come through a few weeks ago from one of our Style Story customers, and she was asking for an optimal skincare routine for skin in its 60s, but without spending heaps of money. So great question. Obviously, K-beauty has so many options that won't break the budget for, you know, skin of all ages, but even for the anti-aging, you know, some of them do tend to be a little bit more on the expensive side. I'm thinking brands like Solar Sue, for example, the History of Who. They are obviously on the very expensive side for K-beauty with a particular focus on anti-aging, but there's a lot that you can do. I think one of the, it will be about prioritizing as well if you're trying to keep your costs down. I would always recommend starting with a good double cleansing duo just to properly remove your makeup if you're wearing any, and your SPF as well. We've actually got a double cleansing duo now up on our website that features a cleansing balm and a powder cleanser. So go and check that out. The price is very good. It's much cheaper than buying the two products separately. It's called the double cleansing duo on our site. The other product that will not break the budget that a lot of people have told me that they are using as a serum is our Jellico Dewy Glaze Toner. This one is obviously perfect for dry and mature skin because we made it on a base of birch sap with three types of hyaluronic acid as well. It's technically an essence toner, but a lot of the feedback that we have been getting from other beauty podcasters as well, including the girls over at You Beauty, which is one of the biggest beauty podcasts in Australia, they were mentioning that they think that this is almost like a serum. So if you were trying to save a little bit of money, this is a very, very big bottle. It's 155 grams, which, you know, your typical serum is about 30 mils. So if you wanted to use it as a serum, you could. I think realistically, depending on how dry your skin is, it's probably not going to be enough for really, really dry, mature skin. Something like Tosawang's Hyaluronic Acid Aqua Ampoule is great. It's amazing, and it comes in a nice big bottle as well. One thing that I myself, you know, because I use a lot of different serums, and I particularly love hydrating serums, and one thing that does annoy me a little bit is when serums come in really small jars, like 20, 30 mils. Like, not only is that not great for the environment, because obviously if you're using a 30 mil product, you're going to get through it in a couple of months and need another one, but it's also just frustrating to then have to go out and buy another one. They tend to be a little bit expensive depending on the brand. So I love, Tosun has always made their products in really big jars, and I really, really appreciate that, because you can have it on the go for like up to 6 months, and you can use a generous amount. You don't feel like you need to scrimp and save. So Tosun is a really great brand that makes really underrated products, in my opinion. Their hyaluronic acid aqua ampoule is really nice. Their propolis sparkle ampoule is also really nice. So those are two products to look out for. If you are trying to save money but want to incorporate an eye cream, Haru Haru has a really nice bakuchiol eye cream that is not too heavy on the wallet. And then for your cream or moisturizer, our bubble tea steam cream is a very good option for dry and mature skin. It is very, very hydrating. You can use it morning and night. It's got vitamin E, beta glucan, niacinamide, so it can help with brightening your skin, evening it out, all of those kind of things that you would want in a good moisturizer. And it's under $50 AUD, so definitely doesn't break the bank compared to some of the other sort of, you know, really luxe products on the market. Even in K-beauty, some creams can run into the hundreds of dollars for your anti-aging ones. So that would be my suggestion if you're trying to do an anti-aging routine on the cheap, or just save a little bit of money and have some products that are going to last for a little bit longer, particularly with bubble tea steam cream. A little goes a long way. So you really only need a tiny little amount to get the full benefits of that as well. Now, we have had a few new releases on the Style Story website, and one that I know a lot of people are really excited about is Skin 79's Orange BB Cream. Now, this is not a new product, but we were not able to sell it in Australia for years because of some of the cosmetic regulations here. Thankfully, there was an update to the regulations a little while ago, and that means we're now able to sell it here. And one of the ingredients that is so good in this product is the one that helps you to care for dark spots and uneven skin tone. So this is a classic Korean BB cream that provides high coverage. It does the color correcting. It also has a sun protection element in it. But I always do say, when particularly if you are in Australia, but for everyone really, don't rely on the sun protection in your makeup products. I know that, you know, particularly for things like this that are marked SPF 50, you're probably thinking, that's all I need. The reason I don't recommend doing it is because you are very unlikely to apply the amount that you would need to get the stated level of protection for makeup. You would just make yourself look like you're wearing some sort of a funny mask if you put that much makeup on. So what I always suggest is do your sunscreen underneath, and then you can go in with your BB cream over the top. And it's not that if you're putting on 50 plus sunscreen and 50 plus BB cream that you then get 100 plus. That's not how it works, but it is just like an extra reinforcement in case maybe you missed a spot or something like that. That will ensure that you get your proper sun protection. And then, of course, if you're looking to, you know, touch up during the day, you can always take your puff from your BB cream and take your sunscreen with you and just puff that over the top. One of the things that I love about Skin 79, and I've been using this product for years and years and years, is that you can reapply it and it won't cake or flake. So if you do need to go in later with your sunscreen to do your reapplication, you will notice that it doesn't make it go all funky. And that is a massive plus, particularly if you're going to be spending a lot of time in the sun. So that one is now up on the Style Story website. It is a really, really great product. It's not heavily fragranced. It comes in a compact hygienic bottle, a pump style bottle. Very, very great product. I absolutely love it. Now, another one that we have brought on by popular request is the Manufactory Bifida Biome Ampoule Toner. So this one is really making the most of the new trend for probiotic ingredients and microbiome, and they're using what they're calling a patented bifida biome. So basically to help protect your skin from environmental pollutants, things like smog, dust, and whatnot, it has a blend of 10 types of hyaluronic acid as well. So go and check that out if you've been interested in trying this one, if this one has been on your list. Now, we've had a couple of new product reviews as well left on the Style Story website. The first one was for Kahi's Multibalm, and oh my God, you guys have been going so crazy for this. We have literally sold out of this product every second week, I feel like. You just lap it up. We literally cannot get enough of it quick enough for all the people that want to try it. So this reviewer gave it 5 stars and she said, "My skin needed this. On a clean face, I gently applied it via my fingertips and immediately I could feel it sink into my dry skin. I found that a little goes a long way. Great product." So go and check that out. If it's out of stock when you're looking, just pop your email address on the list to be notified when it's back in. We are, you know, constantly reordering it. Every time we think we've like ordered enough that, you know, we can service everyone that wants one, we run out again. But don't worry, we've always got more on the way. So if it happens to be out of stock the day you're looking for it, just pop your name on the list and we'll email you as soon as it gets back in. The other review that we had was for Jellico's Dewy Glaze Toner. And our reviewer gave it 10 out of 10, even though 5 stars is the maximum that we offer. She said, 10 out of 10, "This toner is so very refreshing, goes on beautifully after my double cleanse routine. My skin has never felt so refreshed, will be an absolute staple in my routine." Thank you very much for sharing your review. The last one we had was for Etude's Moistful Collagen Cream, and our reviewer said, 5 stars, "This is my second pot of this wonderful cream. Hopefully I can continue to purchase it." Thank you very much for sharing your reviews, and don't forget that we do give you points for all the reviews that you leave on our website so that you can redeem them towards your next purchase. So feel free to share your honest reviews. You get points for whatever you say, whatever you leave. And when you do share your thoughts on how you're using it, how it worked for you, if there are other people that you would suggest it for, or conversely, if there are people that you think this is probably not going to be the best fit for you, that's all very useful feedback. So thank you to everyone that does share their reviews. Now, for my recommendation of the week, I have a feeling that quite a few of our listeners have probably already seen this show, particularly if you're interested in K-drama. This is, of course, Song Hye-kyo's new drama, The Glory, which is on Netflix at the moment. It is not a light topic. If you haven't tuned in yet, it does canvas the topic of school bullying, and quite a severe case of school bullying, I would say. And that's not really giving anything away. That's sort of the theme of the show. I don't want to give any spoilers, but what they have done is they've actually released it in 2 parts. So not even I know what's going to happen in the very end. But basically, it tells the story of a young girl who, you know, goes to school with a bunch of rich kids who really bully her, and she is basically hatching up a plan to, you know, take revenge on particularly the main girl that sort of led the bullying. It is probably in my top 5, I would say, of dramas that I've ever seen. It is really, really well done. I thought Song Hye-kyo as an actress, I think some of her roles I think are perfect for her, and then others I don't connect with as much, but this was one I just thought she absolutely nailed it. I thought she was so, so good in this role. Everyone is talking about it. I swear to God, I've been to like lots of different, you know, activities and stuff like that. I was at the hairdresser yesterday and literally it's like one of the questions that everyone's asking. They're like, "Have you seen it yet?" I'm like, "Yes, I have seen it. I pretty much binged watch it," which I like never do. I think I watched 4 episodes in a single night. Like I stayed up past midnight to watch it. That's how good it was. So that is my recommendation. If you, you know, are looking to get into K-drama, it is quite dark. I will definitely caveat that. If you're in the mood for something a bit more light and romantic, this is not one of those dramas, but it is very, very clever. I cannot wait for them to release the next part of it. I think I was told that they're going to be releasing it in March 2023. So let's just wait and see, I guess. But yeah, The Glory on Netflix, real like chef's kiss. I absolutely loved it, really entertained by it, and I cannot wait for the second part. So I am going to leave it here today. I will be back in your ears with our deep dive episode. And until then, I will see you on Style Story.